poignantly have been the fact that these two men lived in another realm. They looked like us. They talked like us, shall we say, common people of the day. There was nothing to distinguish them other than this. They moved in God. And that was the distinguishing mark. So they were men that understood deeply the principles of God, the ways of God. There have been very few people that have understood this. Moses was one of those that understood. The people saw the acts of God. Moses knew the ways of God. And these two great prophets really bring out so much deep, deep mystical, spiritual principles of a life with God that God wanted to have us know. Wanted to have us know. So today by faith, Lord, we open our hearts that we might take another step of God's unveiling of His truth, of what these men were revealing to us and what we can have. Because remember, God is no respecter of persons. Think upon that. You can have as much as anything that you read here. It's all yours. It's all yours. All right? So by faith, Lord, we begin just to embrace it today. Right. And as the kingdom comes, Lord, we seize it. You seize the truth that we might walk in the truth. All right, let's first pick up, if we would, Revelation chapter 3. You recall we left off on that last time when we were together. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If there ever was a word to describe the Western United, the Western world today, that would probably be it. From Europe to the Scandinavian countries, to England, to the United States of America. While we've had a deep heritage of faith in these countries, now we're seeing a deep darkness come over them because basically it's so much that we've been abandoned and we have gone another way, away from the light, away from God, to walk in other things other than putting the Lord first in our lives. I advise you to buy from me gold, refined by fire. No way to get around it. Fire's coming to the earth. And fire is certainly going to be focused on the people of God to bring the purification that we're talking about. You recall in Malachi chapter 3, the brewing of the pot, silver and gold, that he might have instruments of purity in this hour. We move on. I advise you to that you may become rich and that you may have white garments so that you may clothe yourself so that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eyes have to anoint your eyes. Again, the shame of your nakedness because of the lack of understanding, because sin has separated you from your God. Why is the problem? Where is the problem? It's because sin has separated us from God. That's the problem. The human race is dominated by sin. The nations of the earth are blinded because of darkness, because of the sin of the people. There is a shame associated with this nakedness as well, as David's been bringing out so masterfully. The shame of it, because we've hidden from God, we've clothed ourselves, turned away from God, there's a shame on all humanity. So God in this hour is wanting to illuminate all of that, bring it under his focus, bring it under his light, and he does it through heat. He puts pressure on you. He puts you through the fire. There are several key ways that he is delivering us from the dominion of darkness. And the way that seems right for a man to walk in, as Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man to walk in. But the end thereof is destruction. The human race is headed for destruction. Why? It's destroying itself. And so much of what we're going to see today is going to be self-inflicted. There's going to be a lot of self-inflicted pain. There's going to be a lot of self-inflicted suffering because we've abandoned the truth. And we're walking in a lie and a deception. So the closer we come to the truth, i.e. Christ is the way, the truth, the life, the more illumination, the more understanding, the more revelation, the more knowledge, the more wisdom we're going to have. Because all truth wisdom, knowledge, understanding resides in Him. He is the truth. He is the way. How about eyes to anoint your eyes, Sav? Eyes to anoint your eyes that you may see. Oh, I see. I can see. It's a beautiful day. I love that. I can see. It's the eyes of our heart. Do you really see? Are you really aware of the times of the season? But spiritually now we're beginning to be quickened to it. This is why the necessity of worship. Because worship then is your communion, spirit to spirit. John chapter 3. He's looking for worshipers. Those that will worship Him in the soul. No, those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Christ went on to tell the lady, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. Interesting. Deep. Another day on that. All right, so we move on here and pick it up then with verse 19. Those who whom I love, I pamper. I just pat him on the back. Good job. You know, keep it up. He's going to reprove us. He's going to discipline us. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, man. Repent. I think most of the Christian world, we, as human beings, take the route of least resistance. So we typically repent of the omission of sins. I cheated, I lied, I stole. In other words, the basic things. I committed adultery. Okay. It's almost to get us up to zero. You know, on baseline. That just kind of gets you right here. But in all the scriptures, and you know, most of Christianity, that's good, I'm right there. I mean, that's good, I'm right there. The Word, I'm following the Word. I think these guys with Elijah and Elisha went a lot farther than that. I don't know why. It just kind of seems to me they kind of went a lot farther than that. And I think most of us in this room are wanting to go a lot farther. What it means is then, it means we have to have deeper repentance. Because it's not just the elimination of the negative that we're looking for to kind of get to baseline zero. We're looking to be exceedingly abundantly above. We're looking to be like Christ Jesus. We're looking to have the actual injection of the nature and the life of God within us so that we're actually walking epistles of Christ. Boy, to see you is going to be Jesus Christ, because all the attributes, not a reasonable facsimile. No, they're going to be seeing Christ. They're going to be seeing Christ. When you speak who you are, you will be Christ Jesus. You remember Revelation 19, wasn't it? John, now, if there's anybody that knew the Lord, don't you think John probably knew the Lord? He had several appearances with the Lord. He walked and talked with the Lord. Post-resurrection appearances, I'm saying he probably knew the Lord. Yeah, putting it mildly. And yet, when the angel spoke to him, he said, don't worship me. You know, it's the spirit of prophecy. He couldn't tell the difference between the spirit of prophecy that was coming forth from this being and Christ Jesus. And that's how it's going to be with us. The spirit of prophecy and of Christ is going to live within us so magnificently and so radiantly that to see you will be to see Christ. This is what it's going to mean. And as we take a look at three or, I don't think we'll get to four because I want to make sure we not go too long today. It is Potluck Sunday. Although I don't hear your stomachs growling yet, you're kind, but we are going to wrap it up, I think, shortly, but not too long. We'll touch on maybe two of the four great miracles that David's been bringing out here on Elijah and Elisha, and we'll identify what those are. But all this is just leading up to that. God is preparing you to be the answer. How is the world going to know? Who's going to deliver the earth from futility? Christ? No, you. He can't separate himself from you. All that he's done for us, is so that you would come forth in love to be with him where he's at, that together you might share in oneness with the Father that he has with the Father. It's this total identification that he has with us. What's our response in his love to us? In all the love that he's shown upon us, what's our response back to him? Has it been a total response back in love? I don't know. Only you'll have to answer that question. That's a very intimate, personal question. What has been your response back to him in the total love that he's given you? Okay. And in that loving relationship, he is saying, my covenant is with you. You may think, boy, couldn't he have chosen somebody better than us? I mean, you know, we probably kind of the bottom rung here of humanity. I mean, I'll speak for myself, you know. I mean, I know you people, but I'm thinking, you didn't have a whole lot to work with here. I'm sorry, you know what I mean? But all we can say is that all I can give him is 100% of what I can give him, and I got to give him 100%. No matter what you think of yourself, it doesn't make any difference. He's like, I've chosen you. So we got to get out of the mindset, and God, this whole thing of the mind, you've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It shows us there's a spirit to the mind. Not only what you know and all that, there's a spirit of the mind, as there's a spirit of everything. There's a spirit of your emotions. There's a spirit of your being, et cetera, et cetera. So it's the being renewed in the spirit of your mind that will come into the mind of Christ, will come into the heart of the Father. And all of this is bringing us into that. He's going to have a people that are going to be ready, that are going to be prepared, that know the score, like Elijah and Elisha, that move valiantly, boldly, amazingly in the earth. This is common way of people to go. Remember, there is a great Elijah company that is being built in the earth. Malachi 3, he's bringing us through the process of purification, so that we might be restored. Restored into a oneness with him. You remember the book of Genesis? It didn't start out like how it is now. It started out where people, male, female, had a living communion with God. It must have been incredible to think 100% of their mind was able to be aware of God. What do we use? 7% of our mind? A maximum of 10. Where's the other 90% gone? Where was that? Subconscious? I don't know. But the point is, isn't it amazing to think that it started out with mankind having a pure, perfect, incredible relationship with the Lord? Sin entered in. Now look where it's gotten us. 5,000 years. Talk about history repeating itself. I mean, you can go back and take a look at this whole thing. This is where sin, shame, darkness, rebellion, everything you want to say. This is what we have? How ripped off have we been as a human race by the evil one? He's totally disoriented us, distracted us, deluded us, defeated us, deceived us. You can go on and on and on. A lot of D's in there, aren't there? But Christ is bringing restoration, rejuvenation, revelation, three R's there, et cetera, et cetera. So, and this is the day, dear ones, of restoration, rejuvenation, renewal, revelation, rebirth. Why? The King's coming. And in that, we're beginning to, spirit to spirit, have a witness to that, have a knowledge of that, and beginning to absorb it. Beginning to absorb it. Our minds are changing, getting more into the likeness of his mind. Our spirits are being transformed. On and on and on. Because the world is getting ready, and you're sensing it, I'm sensing it, for a whole new realm to occur. A whole new age is coming to the earth. Go back and study the book of Daniel. We got Roman Empire, Greek, Medo-Persian. Let's see, sorry, forgive me. Start again. Babylonian Empire, Medo-Persia, Greek Empire, Roman Empire. And then that's pretty much it. And then they have a lot of ten horns and all that, you know, the old Roman Empire broken up and blah, 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 blah. The next great event is the kingdom of God that he cuts out of the mountain without hands, a move of God. And he cuts and smites and pulverizes everything. We're getting a whole new change is coming, and it's starting with you. And this great spirit of Elijah and Elisha, they epitomize the work of God in their generation. And God tells us that the spirit of Elijah is going to restore and return to the earth to bring to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest he come and smites the earth with a curse. Okay? But God's going to fulfill his word. God's going to have a people, and it's going to be you and me. This is his covenant. Okay, let's take a look at two of the four great miracles, and then we'll turn you loose to have a nice meal. All right? Okay. 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, as you're turning there, you will recall that David brought out in Isaiah 61, it is the double portion, right? This is the day of the double portion. And that there be no shame in this hour. So the elimination of the shame is something that we want to eradicate. And we've been learning that to eliminate the shame is through deep, deep repentance. Right? Because in his presence there is no shame. Okay. We're going to look at chapter 2 of 2 Kings. And this was the miracle beginning in verse 19. And talked about the salt, right? This was at Jericho. You recall this? The first two great miracles. This is important now. The first two great miracles that Elisha performed after the mantle fell and dropped. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. Never saw death. Who are two people that never saw death? Three, actually. Can you name them? Enoch was one. Elijah. I guess that would be the two. So he was taken up in a whirlwind. If you see me when I leave, then you'll have a double portion. So he had the double portion. He picked up the cloak. You know, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He opened the Jordan River. They walked across and so forth. And then the prophets wanted to go find him. They'll run, go find him. You're not going to find him. And they didn't. And so his first two miracles, he comes back to Jericho then. And remember in Jericho, think about the history of this now. In Jericho, it was forever meant to be a stronghold of priests before God. This was the founding of Jericho. It was meant to be a stronghold of priests. Remember, Joshua went in and redeemed it and all that. Walls came down, blah, 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 blah. This is meant to be a location for priests. Bethel, on the other hand, which is a little bit northwest of there, up on the road by Jerusalem, this was a stronghold of actually Baal worship. Now, although it wasn't brought out, but the second miracle here is something that you grandparents wouldn't want to speak to your grandkids about before they go to sleep at night, because 42 bears came out of the wilderness and devoured, two bears came out of the wilderness to devour 42 kids that were from Bethel. And in this hour, there are going to be blessings of regeneration, i.e. in Jericho, turning the water to fruitful water, and there's going to be judgment at the same time. Within a very short span, Elisha blessed one city and renewed it by the purification of the flow of water and life that would sustain. Right. And then about a day later, if not, that may be afternoon, he's walking up to another city and he's cursing 42 kids, and two bears come out of the wilderness and devour it. Whoa. Man, I want to tangle with that guy. So in this hour, again, it's showing us that there will be a mingling of blessings on some and judgment upon the other. I'm going to bless you, but them, they're going to die. You read that throughout all the scriptures. Some are going to be blessed. Some are not going to be blessed. That's just the way of God. We won't go any further on that right now, because I do want to focus on this miracle that occurred in Jericho. It was Elisha's first miracle after he slapped the water and walked across the Jordan. That's pretty impressive in itself. But this first great miracle then, I'm going to name this, we'll say, the miracle of salt. Or we could say better, a covenant of salt. We have the story then of him going to Jericho. The waters were bad. And even to this day, for those of us that have been to Jericho, those waters, even today, and the scripture says, even today, those waters are pure. If it were not for the purification of those waters, boy, they grow a lot of fruit down there, and et cetera, et cetera. It's very, very prolific down there in terms of its agricultural strengths and all right now. So ever since Elisha spoke the word, the waters have been pure. In other words, regeneration, rebirth, restoration. Now, why on the planet did Elisha choose salt? Why did he choose some dirt, throw it in the water? Why did he choose meal? He chose meal. Remember, another miracle, he chose meal and threw it in the pot. Why does he choose salt and throw it into the water?
Salt brings out the other tastes.
That's definitely an aspect of salt. It definitely does. Don? Yeah.
It has a bitterness. It has a sharpness.
Yes.
That is cleansing and purifying.
It does in cleansing and purifying. You remember, too, that they, a lot of times in the Roman Empire, they used to put salt in the wounds. They whipped them, 49 lashes, less one, right? They rub salt in the wounds. Wow, they're wicked because it's, man, that'd be unbelievable. But, again, trying to prevent the infection. There are, like, last I read, like 1,600 different uses for salt. But the true meaning, if for those Bible students that want to go back, I'll give you some examples of it. Ezekiel 16, talks about salt. Leviticus chapter 2 talks about salt. We're going to bring up a couple of these scriptures. There is a covenant of salt. And for me, the mystical interpretation of that, as David was bringing out, the covenant of salt goes way, way back in God's heart. And again, these fellas, by the leading of the Spirit, we're setting examples and principles in place that, look, 5,000 years later here now, we're 4,000 years after these guys, well, actually, what, 3,000 years after these guys walked the earth, we're still talking about these great miracles that these guys perform because they're significant things that God wants to reveal to us. The covenant of salt is extremely interesting. And again, it's all another word, but you might want to think about in Leviticus 2, Leviticus 2, Ezekiel 16, and then I'm reminded, we are the salt of the earth.
Right.
Yeah, in the New Testament. You see, he's making us the salt of the earth. So we're the ones that are going to have this sharpness, this bitterness, this cleansing aspect, this pungent aspect. There's going to be aspects, think about it, of all that God's bringing forth. Number 6, with the Levites and the Levitical priesthood. 2 Chronicles 13 with David. And God made a covenant of salt with David that his ancestors would always be on the throne. And that lineage obviously is through Jesus Christ. And then, as I mentioned, in Numbers chapter 18 with the Levitical priesthood and the covenant that he made with them. But some of the really powerful ones are in Leviticus where they had to rub salt all over the sacrifice. Rub it all over the sacrifice. Ezekiel 16 talks about how Israel was born and birthed, and the child came forth, and it was rubbed with salt. Now, again, the powerful cleansing aspects to it, too. But, again, covenants of God, mystical covenants of God. God has made a covenant of salt with us. And this is why this first great miracle, and it shows us what the power of the covenant of salt eventually will be, so that we are going to be the salt of the earth. The answer is he's going to throw us into the situation, and you will be the answer in Jesus Christ because you are the salt of the earth. No longer is it just mystically with the regular salt. He's throwing the salt of your life into the earth, in your life, into a situation. You're going to have the keys. You're going to have the knowledge. You are going to be the answer. Again, all of this is coming so that his people are going to be the answer. The fulfillment of all Christ accomplished is the personification of we, his people, being redeemed from the curse of the earth, that we would stand in a oneness with him. This is the ultimate area where we're headed, dear ones. So just accepting Christ and coming along in Christianity, that's fine for some. But for the people here, for others that are out there, I know, the fulfillment of God's word will be in this fulfillment and completion of the covenant of salt, so that you will be the answer. You're going to be the answer in Christ Jesus. And God's going to see to it that you're going to be prepared to be the answer. How many of us can say, you know what? I feel like God's pretty much kind of rubbed my body with salt. pretty much kind of. And then when I'm down, he's like just jamming salt in my wounds. I mean, he's just like no holds barred. I think we can all kind of say that. It says, man, this is God? Yeah. That is. That's how he does it. God's ways are not our ways. But his results, you got to say, he would like the end results. You got to say, he's pretty good at getting his end results accomplished. And in the final analysis, we're looking for accomplishments, which are accomplished by the Spirit of the living God. All right? All right. So we'll continue to, Lord, wash me with this salt. Because he's going to make you the answer. And he's going to eventually throw you into a situation where you're going to be the answer. Hallelujah. So this is then the great, to me, one of the great insights into these great miracles of Elijah. Let's do one more and then we'll wrap it up. We don't want to belabor it too much. Maybe we'll pick up the other two down the road somewhere. Let's move to the second miracle, which was, this is the miracle of the death in the pot. Remember that? Remember the sign there of 2 Kings chapter 4, just a page over. And we'll wrap it up with this one. We'll hold off on the axe head. And we'll hold off upon the pride of Naaman, maybe for another day. But I got to love that axe head too. That one is very, very powerful. Let's talk and finish it up with 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38, please. When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was famine in the land. We'll have some of that too. As the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, he said to his servants, these are sons of the prophets sitting before him, put on a large pot, boil the stew for the sons of the prophets. When one went out to the field, gathered herbs, found a wild vine, gathered from his lap full of wild gourds, and came and sliced them up, threw them in the pot, for they didn't know what they were. So they poured it out for the man of God to eat, and it came about as they were eating of the stew, this is verse 40, that they cried out, O man of God, there is death in the pot. And they were unable to eat it. And then he said here, very mystically, now bring me salt. No. He did salt already. That was a covenant of salt. Now he's on to something else. Bring me some meal. And here again, he takes the meal. And now he throws the meal into the pot. Man, it's like this guy. Salt, meal. What's next from this guy? What does the meal mean? Certainly does. Certainly does. To absorb the poisons in the pot. Yeah?
The bread of the earth.
Yeah. Now we're on to something there too. That word of God. The word of God certainly can absorb the poisons. The word of God can certainly bring an injection of life, of that which is living. The meal to me, and again, it has to be a witness to you, because all this is by revelation, okay? Is the injection of the pure Word of God into the situation. The bread of life into the situation. In this day, dear ones, it's tough to find a living Word. We're blessed because we have those individuals that have been deeply touched with God and have a walk with God, have a living walk with God, a vibrant, dynamic, growing walk with God, so that daily, weekly, we're hearing from this pulpit words of life. If you don't, you should be going somewhere else. All right? Because we're being taught and trained the principles of the kingdom, which includes salvation, fundamental step. It's the first step in a long journey. What about all the other steps leading towards discipleship? That's where I want to go. I want to go like with these guys. Right? And I know all of you are saying the same thing. You'd like to be like Elijah. You'd like to be like Elisha. Yeah. Well, we're going to be. Because we're going to be a part of a big company. They without us are not complete. Now you can say, God's got to do pretty good work on me. I'm looking at myself. I don't want to look at you because you're thinking I'm looking at you. I'm really looking. God's got to do continued work on myself if I'm going to get like these guys. But we're believing for it. Aren't we? And we're asking and claiming for it in the Lord. So we're going to put him on the hook. He's going to be responsible. Lord, we're willing it. I know you're able. So because you're able, bring me about that I'll come into it. But the great sign and witness here to me is the living Word of God being injected into your life. So not only does God rub the salt in you to prepare you to be the salt of the earth, God is speaking a living Word into your life by the Spirit and getting rid of all the junk.
Because when that word comes, remember, the word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword that what? Divides asunder between soul and spirit. It divides asunder between soul life and spirit life. We're being trained by the spiritual principles of the kingdom.
So this is what the Word of God does. So not only does God rub the salt in you, because He's going to make you the salt of the earth, He injects His Word into you. Why? So that you are going to be the Word of God. People are going to go and see you. And remember, you're going to have a heart of flesh that's written on by the Spirit of the living God, so that you're going to be the Word. In Corinthians, right? So that you're going to be the Word of God. Don't look for somebody else. The answer is going to be you. Because the covenant of salt is going to be fulfilled in your life. We can all attest to the fact that it's rubbed salt all over us. And I think we all can say, you know what? The Word of God's been pretty living and active on my life. I mean, the sword's kind of cut up my life pretty good. Right? It's more than Zorro. No, it's been more than that. He's just been... And more. It's like, he doesn't... Please. I mean, I've had enough of the sword on my life. Maybe not. And by that answer, it shows me you haven't, you know? That's what he's saying. But the sword of the Spirit, the living word in this hour, is the key. Because it is actually cutting away all the dross. It's killing, you know, us on a soul level so that we can say like Paul, nevertheless, not I that lives, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live by faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me, and gave His life for me that I might come into a oneness with Him. That's the bottom line, dear ones. He loves you so much. He's had to discipline you, but He's all bringing you into Himself. These are the ways of God. This is what these men knew. This is what Moses knew. The ways of God, not everyone's willing to accept them. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm having a hard time. Everybody's got a hard time with Him. Because His ways are not our ways. Isaiah. But slowly and surely, we're beginning to, I kind of like the ways of the Lord. I'm kind of beginning to be more and more, you know what? I can see. I get it now. I'm kind of beginning to get it after all these years. I kind of like the results. I don't like His means and His techniques, but I got to say I like the results. So Lord, we're being conditioned. So the salt, the living word of God, these are two powerful vehicles, channels, by which God is bringing us into a oneness with Him. To me, this is why the great stories of Elijah and Elisha, you know, are so fantastic, because they're powerful keys, very mystical, powerful keys that reveal to us the way God is bringing us into a oneness with Him. So that as we stand, like we sang, you know, stand in His presence, we'll know what it means. We'll understand that we've been prepared by God, like all the cloud of witnesses that are standing, rejoicing, and rooting us on. We're going to have to finish up this baton strong. Remember, typically, at Olympic level racing, the anchor person is probably, the anchor person is your strongest racer. So what I'm saying by that, dear ones, I'm looking at some of God's greatest saints that will come forth in this generation, will come forth as an anchor leg in this hour to walk with God and to carry the baton into the opening days of the kingdom. And this is why God has been so severe with salt, so committed to a pure word to bring so that you can be pure, because He's looking for absolute purity in this hour. And we can just conclude and say, Lord, by faith, Lord, we just open our hearts to say, Lord, purify us. Continue the work that You've begun within Your people. We recognize it's the day and the hour of Your appearing. We recognize that You're coming to restore and renew and recreate all things into a oneness of total purity in You. And while we don't understand all of the techniques that You use, Perhaps today we've had an insight into some of the techniques that you use to bring about this purity. And all we can say, Lord, be it done to me like Mary. Be it done to me, Lord, according to thy word, that we might be the prepared people, Father, that you speak of in your word, a chosen, holy, righteous people, mature sons and daughters of the kingdom. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, Lord's with you. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his presence shine upon you wherever you may go and all that you may do, that you'll find that his presence and that awareness of his presence is with us. For surely his loving hand is upon us to bring us into a oneness with him that he had with us before the world began. And this is the exciting day of it, dear ones. Many will follow by our left and by our right. But his blessing's upon you. His calling is upon you. His anointing is upon you. That he might bring you into that place of a relationship with him for all eternity. Amen. All right, we've got our potluck. And Don?